الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد, we have a lecture this afternoon which is entitled أهمية اللغة العربية في حياتي المسلم, the importance of the Arabic language in the life of a Muslim. And we know that the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Noble Quran, was revealed in the Arabic language, and likewise that the final prophet, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he spoke the Arabic language, and the clarification of the Quran is in the narrations of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is in the Arabic language, and likewise those who transmitted that religion, those first and foremost, the vanguard of this ummah, those who believed and supported the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and transmitted to us the religion, the Quran, the Book of Allah, and likewise the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were Arab. They were Arab and they spoke the Arabic language. So no doubt it's of utmost importance to have great concern and great care and great effort in studying and learning the Arabic language and becoming fluent and becoming strong in these sciences in order to understand the Book of Allah and in order to understand the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to benefit in one's religion and to draw near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by reading the Quran and reciting the Book of Allah and pondering and reflecting. We have this afternoon a number of different transmissions from the statements of the scholars, past and present, about the importance of the Arabic language. And from that, we have what has been mentioned by Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullahu ta'ala. He has mentioned a number of great benefits with encouragement to learn the Arabic language and to master the Arabic language and to speak in the Arabic language. And from that is what has been transmitted in his work, Iqtida'u As-Siratul Mustaqim, Mukhalafata Ashab al-Jahim. He has a number of works which is well known. Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he died in the year 728. From those works, a work which is entitled Iqtida'u Sirat al-Mustaqim, Mukhalafata Ashab al-Jahim, the fact that the straight path requires and necessitates to oppose and be different from the people of the hellfire. A work about the obligation of differing from the Jews and the Christians and the pagans and polytheists and holding fast to the legislation and guidance that was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He touched in this work on a number of topics, and there are many great benefits found in this particular work. And from that, what he has mentioned about the obligation of studying and learning the Arabic language and likewise striving to speak with the Arabic tongue, and the importance and the status of the Arabic language in the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he mentioned in this work a transmission with a chain back to al-Imam al-Shafi'i, rahimahullahu ta'ala, who died in the year 204. That great scholar and well-known imam from the imams of the Sunnah, Muhammad ibn Idris Abu Abdullah al-Shafi'i, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he said, اللسان الذي اختاره الله عز وجل لسان العربي فأنزل به كتابه العزيز وجعله لسان خاتم أنبيائه محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ولهذا نقول ينبغي لكل أحد يقدر على تعلم العربية أن يتعلمها لأنها اللسان الأولى. So Imam Shafi رحمه تعالى, he says that the tongue, al-lisan, alladhi ikhtaruhu Allahu azza wa jal, the tongue that Allah He has selected and chosen, in reference to the language, sometimes the lugha is referred to as al-lisan, is referred to as the tongue. So the tongue that Allah has chosen and selected, al-lisan, alladhi ikhtaruhu Allahu azza wa jal, lisanul arab, the tongue, meaning the language that Allah has selected and chosen, meaning for the final revelation and the completion of the law and legislation for all mankind until the day of judgment, lisanul arab, is the tongue of the Arab, meaning the Arabic language, is the Arabic language. فَأَنْزَلَ بِهِ كِتَابُهُ الْعَزِيزِ, so Allah, He revealed His mighty book in this language. وَجَعَلَهُ لِسَانَ خَاتَمِ أَنْبِيَائِهِ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. As well, he has made this language the language of the seal of his prophets, Prophet Muhammad صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. So to summarize, now we see the great importance to learn the Arabic language is the language of the Quran and the language of the Prophet Muhammad صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, the language of the Sunnah. The language of the Sunnah and the foundation of the religion of Islam is the Quran and the Sunnah. Is the Quran and the Sunnah. And even likewise, from that, the understanding of the Salaf of this Ummah. And all of this is in the Arabic language. And all of this was chosen and selected, decreed by Allah Azza wa Jal, this language here, the Arabic language, to be the language of the Quran, which is the final revelation, and the language of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he is the seal of all prophets and messengers, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So al-Imam al-Shafi, he says, rahimahullah, وَلِهَذَا نَقُولُ, for this reason we say, يَنْبَغِي لِكُلِ أَحَدٍ يَقْدِرُ عَلَى تَعَلُّمِ الْعَرَبِيَّةِ أَنْ يَتَعْلَمَهَا. So therefore, it's incumbent upon everyone who is able to learn the Arabic language, that he should learn it. This is great advice. Everyone who has the ability, everyone who has a sound mind, and he is free, and he is able to, and he has the time, or even if he doesn't have the time, he should make the time, and he should strive his utmost to learn the Arabic language. يَنْبَغِي لِكُلِ أَحَدٍ يَقْدِرُ عَلَى تَعَلُّمِ الْعَرَبِيَّةِ أَنْ يَتَعَلَّمَهَا. It's incumbent for everyone who's able to learn the Arabic language that he should learn it. And whenever the people of knowledge refer to learning the Arabic language, they're referring to learning it with precision and learning it fluently, learning its sciences, learning about the nahw, the grammar, and learning about the sarf, the morphology, and learning about the balagha and the eloquence and the beauty of speech, and learning about the mufradat and the different vocabulary and the words and the asalib al-arab and the methodology of the Arab in their speech and the way that they construct sentences to indicate certain meanings and ideas, to learn all of these affairs, to become fluent in order to understand the words of Allah first and foremost, and then likewise in order to understand the words of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as well as the Sahaba and the scholars of hadith after them, understanding the proper methodology and way, and understanding the correct religion. And understanding the correct religion, he says, لِأَنَّهَا أَلِّسَانُ الْأَوْلَى, because this tongue here is the most rightful tongue, because the Arabic is the most rightful language. It's the most rightful. It's the best and the most virtuous language. Similar to like this, in the same work by Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, he mentioned himself, وَأَيْضًا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى لَمَّا أَنزَلَ كِتَابَهُ بِاللِّسَانِ الْعَرَبِيِّ وَجَعَلَ رَسُولَهُ مُبَلِّغًا عَنْهُ لِلْكِتَابِ وَالْحِكْمَةِ بِلِسَانِهِ الْعَرَبِي وَجَعَلَ السَّابِقِينَ إِلَى هَذَا الدِّينِ مُتَكَلِّمِينَ بِهِ لَمْ يَكُنْ سَبِيلٌ إِلَى ضَبْطِ الدِّينِ وَمَعْرِفَتِهِ إِلَّا بِضَبْطِ الْلِسَانِ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, since He revealed His book in the Arabic tongue, and He made His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the one who is conveying the book and clarifying the wisdom therein and the details of that, speaking with the Arabic tongue, and He has made the first and foremost to this religion, and He meaning the companions, radiallahu anhum, min al-muhajirin wal-ansar, from the very first and foremost of this religion, speaking with the same tongue and speaking with the same language, لم يكن سبيل إلى ضبط الدين ومعرفته إلا بضبط اللسان. It's not possible. There's no way to understand precisely. The religion, and to know it correctly, except by having precision with regards to the language. Having precision and preciseness with regards to the language, and meaning learning it properly. A person, he will not be able to truly understand properly the religion and study the book of Allah in the manner intended, except by learning precisely the Arabic language, because the Quran was revealed in the Arabic language. And this is from the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as indicated by Imam al-Shafi'i, rahimahullah ta'ala, that this is the language that Allah He chose for the final revelation and for the final and the seal of all prophets and messengers. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, وَصَارَتْ مَعْرِفَتُهُ مِنَ الدِّينِ. For this reason, understanding the Arabic language, having knowledge and learning the Arabic language, is from the religion. وَصَارَ اعْتِبَارُ تَكَلُّمِ بِهِ أَسْهَلْ عَلَى أَهْلِ الدِّينِ فِي مَعْرِفَةِ دِينِ اللَّهِ. And And so now speaking with the Arabic language is easier for the people of the religion to understand the deen. To understand the deen. وَأَقْرَبْ إِلَىٰ إِقَامَةِ شَعَائِرِ الدِّينِ. And this is closer and easier for them to establish the sacred rites of the religion. وَأَقْرَبْ إِلَىٰ مُشَابَهَتِهِمْ لِلسَّابِقِينَ الْأَوَّلِينَ مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ فِي جَمِيعِ أُمُورِهِمْ. And likewise, closer and easier, more facilitated for them to be able to resemble and to imitate the first and foremost from this ummah of the muhajirin and the ansar and all of their affairs. So learning the Arabic language is from the religion. And speaking with the Arabic language is from the religion. Becoming fluent and knowing the sciences of the Arabic language is from the religion. So this is a great action of worship, to study the Arabic language and to seek knowledge of the Arabic language and to learn vocabulary and to learn about the poetry of the Arab and to learn about the mufradat of the Arab and the different meanings and the context and learn the rules of grammar and nahu and to learn the scales and sarf and morphology and to become proficient in that and to learn the different mannerisms of the Arab and the asalib that they use whenever they're speaking to clarify their intent and what they're hoping to express in many different ways and many different methodologies of eloquency, beautification in speech. And we know that the Arabic language is the most eloquent and the most rich and valuable language. So these are some of the statements that people of knowledge have mentioned, clarifying the great importance of the Arabic language in the life of a Muslim. It's the language of the Quran and the language of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who clarified the meanings of the Quran and the rulings found therein. And likewise, the language of the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum, those who transmitted the Quran and the Sunnah to the Ummah. And likewise, the language of the Tabi'een and the Atba' Tabi'een were the language of the Muslims all the way until this day. Wherever the Muslims go, they bring with them the Arabic language, because as is mentioned here, Al-Arabiya min ad-din, the Arabic language is from the religion. The Arabic language is from the religion. This has been likewise transmitted by Umar radiyallahu anhu himself, Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu anhu. Shaykh al-Islam, he referred to these affairs likewise in a number of his different works. And he mentioned that Umar, كتب Umar إلى أبي موسى radiyallahu anhum أما بعد, that Umar, he wrote to Abu Musa radiyallahu anhum, sending him advice, أما بعد, as to what follows. فتفقه في السنة وتفقه في العربية وأعرب القرآن وأعرب القرآن فإنه عربي. He wrote to him. He wrote to Abu Musa radiyallahu anhu, saying to him, تَفَقَّهُ فِي السُنَّةِ. Strive to gain a strong understanding. Strive to gain a strong and firm understanding of the Sunnah. وَتَفَقَّهُ فِي الْعَرَبِيَّةِ. And likewise, strive to gain a strong understanding of the Arabic language. And to become proficient and to have the command of the Arabic language. وَأَعْرِبُ الْقُرْآنِ فَإِنُّهُ عَرَبِي. And recite the Quran properly and precisely. Any meaning, according to the way of the Arab, the original Arab, by pronouncing the words with the proper makharij and the proper sifat in the manner that is required without going to extremes. Likewise, Shaykh al-Islam, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he mentioned, وَفِي حَدِيثٍ آخَرٍ, in another narration, عَنْ Umar radiyallahu anhu, in another narration from Umar radiyallahu anhu, he says that he said, تَعَلَّمُ الْعَرَبِيَّ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ دِينِكُمْ, that you must learn the Arabic language, because indeed it's from your religion. This is great advice. تَعَلَّمُوا الْعَرَبِيَّةَ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ دِينِكُمْ, that you must learn the Arabic language, because indeed it's from your religion. وَتَعَلَّمُوا الْفَرَائِضَ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ دِينِكُمْ, that and you must likewise learn the laws of inheritance, obligations, because they are from your religion. They are from your religion. So having concern with learning the Arabic language and teaching the Arabic language and becoming proficient and strong and having fundamentals and a good foundation in the Arabic language and having a command and being fluent in the Arabic tongue is something that has been advised from the time of the noble companions radiyallahu anhum. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he mentioned here about this narration, وَهَذَا الَّذِي أَمَرَ بِهِ عُمَرُ رَضِيَ anhu مِنْ فِقْهِ الْعَرَبِيَّةِ وَفِقْهِ الشَّرِيعَةِ يَجْمَعُ مَا يَحْتَاجُهُ إِلَيْهِ لِأَنَّ الدِّينَ فِيهِ أَقْوَالٌ وَأَعْمَالٌ فَفِقْهُ الْعَرَبِيَّةِ هُوَ طَرِيقُ إلى فقه أقواله إلى فقه أقواله وفقه السنة هو فقه أعماله. So he says here in this narration, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, in his commentary on the statement of Umar رضي الله and who that whenever Umar here is commanding to strive to have a good understanding of the Arabic language and likewise of the Sharia, the legislation of Allah Azza wa Jal, this combines what a person is in need of. Yani because he says the religion is from two aspects, statements and actions. The religion, if you summarize it, it's in two aspects. What we're ordered and commanded to establish in our deen is from two aspects, statements and actions. Statements and actions. So understanding the Arabic language is the way to understand the statements of the religion. And understanding the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the means to understand the actions. So to summarize, the religion of Al-Islam is based upon the Quran and the sunnah and the understanding of the Salaf. And all of this is in the Arabic language. It's in the Arabic language. The Quran is revealed in the Arabic language. The Quran is a recitation. Quran Arabi. It's a recitation. It's a book of guidance and light. A book of blessing and benefit and mercy for those who believe in it. For those who recite it. Those who read it. And those who reflect and ponder over it. And strive to implement it and apply it in their life. It's nothing but goodness. It's all good. All blessing. All mercy, alhamdulillah, light and guidance, but it's in the Arabic language. And the means to truly benefit from it is to recite it in the Arabic language, and for a person to listen to the recitation in the Arabic language, and for that recitation to enter the heart. To enter the heart, and for a person to reflect and to ponder over the Arabic recitation without any translator or any mediator, to hear the words of Allah and to ponder and reflect over the words of Allah, understanding the language that it was revealed in order to benefit, for the heart to have sincere faith, and for the recitation to sink into the heart, and for a person to benefit. No doubt a person can find great benefit in the proper translation of the Quran, or in the proper translation of the narrations of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, or in the translation of the statements of the people of knowledge who are reliable, whenever they're translated by those who are reliable. There's a great benefit in this, and no one denies that. But to truly benefit and to taste the sweetness of the recitation of the Quran, and to see the truth of the miracle of the Quran, one, he must learn the Arabic language and become fluent. No doubt one could listen to the recitation of the Quran and read along in the English translation and benefit in a great manner, but it's not the same whenever a person hears the words of Allah recited, especially from someone who is a proficient reciter and recites with a beautiful voice and a beautiful manner. It will affect the heart. It will sink into the heart, and the heart will tremble with love and with fear, with humbleness, and it will burst, and a person will come to tears and repentance and humbleness before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, realizing his greatness and his majesty, pondering over his speech and his book subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's of utmost importance for the believers to have great care and concern with learning the Arabic language, to spend time and effort and money and whatever they can to learn themselves the Arabic language, and likewise for their children to learn the Arabic language and to help others as well learn the Arabic language. Maybe some people, they don't have the time or the ability, or they're old, but they're financially able. So alhamdulillah, today we have youth who are striving to learn. Pay for them to have private teachers, or to go overseas, or whatever one needs. And he participate in this effort of teaching the Muslims the Arabic language. Those who we see from them goodness, and those who we hope from them benefit in the future. So this is a great effort. It's of utmost importance for the Muslims to be concerned with the Arabic language. فَإِنَّهَا مَدِينِكُمْ, because it's from your religion. So therefore, all of the efforts, and all of the money, and all of the time, and all of the difficulty, all of the hardship that one puts forth in learning or teaching the Arabic language, if they're sincere in that, they will have a great reward with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every penny, every dollar, every moment, every vocabulary word that one learns, every rule that one learns or that one teaches, if they're sincere in that and they're learning this language because they believe in Allah and they want to understand His religion, this is a great, great effort and a great action of worship and a means to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A reminder for myself and for the noble listeners, barakallahu fikum, to be sincere and truthful with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in seeking the knowledge of the Arabic language. and seeking the knowledge of the Arabic language for the sake of Allah. This is from the deen of Allah, and this is from the sacred rites of Al-Islam. So we must honor that and respect that. And from that is that we learn it for the sake of Allah, not for the sake of the dunya or any worldly status or praise from the peoples. We learn it and we teach it likewise in this manner, seeking the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have a narration which is collected by Bukhari and Muslim from the Haditha Abi Hurayrah radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, ما من الأنبياء نبي إلا أعطي من الآيات ما مثله آمن عليه البشر ما آمن عليه البشر. There was no prophet from the prophets except he was given آيات. إلا أعطي من الآيات ما مثله آمن عليه البشر. That there is no prophet from the prophets except that he was given آيات. Ayat has a number of meanings, and this is an example of the beauty and the richness of the Arabic language. The word ayat, it means verse, or it means sign, or it means proof, or it means evidence, or it means lesson. And it has all of these different means. It means miracle, miracle. All of these words here are found in the, all of these words here and these ideas here are found in this one word, ayatun. Ayatun, and the plural is ayat. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said there was not one prophet except he was given ayat. He was given signs and evidences. He was given great proofs and miracles that were evidences of his truthfulness, evidence of his truthfulness and testimony to his prophethood that the people, mankind, they believed based upon. And in those who are true prophets and messengers, they came with signs. Those who are true prophets and messengers and have guidance truthfully from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they came with the great signs and miracles. They came with the great signs and miracles. Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, he had a miracle. He's building a ship in the middle of the desert. In the middle of the desert, and they mocked him and they laughed at him. But we see who had the last laugh. It was those who believe and followed the Prophet Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. And likewise, Ibrahim, he had miracles. A miracle. They cast him in the fire and it was cool for him and safety and security. He did not harm him. Rather, it was peace and ease for him. And likewise, Musa alayhi salam, he had miracles. He split the sea and many other miracles. Likewise, that the people of Fir'aun, they witnessed with their own eyes in front of their face. And likewise, Banu Israel. Miracles. They were granted miracles by the power and the command of Allah to verify that they're true messengers and prophets with revelation and guidance from the Lord of the worlds. Prophet Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, he came with miracles. He came with miracles bringing the dead back to life by the permission of Allah, healing the leper by the permission of Allah. Allahu Akbar. Not one prophet came except he was granted a miracle, an amazing affair, a proof and sign clarifying that he's truthful in his claim to prophethood, supported by the Lord of the worlds, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet, he says, وَإِنَّمَا كَانَ أَلَّذِي أُوتِيتُ وَحْيًا أَوْحَاهُ اللَّهُ إِلَيَّ. And that which I have been given, and that which I have been given is only revelation that Allah has revealed to me. So the greatest ayah, the greatest ayah, the greatest miracle, the greatest proof, the greatest evidence of the prophethood of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wahyun awhahu Allahu ilayhi, is revelation that Allah had revealed to him. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, فَأَرْجُ أَنْ أَكُونَ أَكْثَرَهُمْ تَابِعًا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. So I hope that I will have the most followers on the day of resurrection, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was granted this great sign and proof and evidence, the noble Quran, which is a recitation that is recited and is preserved, precise in the language, in the manner that it was revealed and protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala till the day of judgment. So therefore, his miracle is an eternal miracle, everlasting, from the time it was revealed until the establishment, or just before the establishment of the day of resurrection. As for the miracles of the previous prophets and messengers, then they only had a short period. The miracles that they experienced, they were for a time appointed and a term that was well known, and then their miracle is done. And as for the miracle and the evidence and proof, the ayah of the truthfulness of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that he's the messenger of Allah, then it's everlasting. So therefore, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's hoping that he will have more followers because the miracle will be seen by all of mankind and witnessed by all of mankind. The miracle of the Quran is not the only miracle of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It's the greatest miracle, but likewise there were other miracles as well, clarifying the truthfulness of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We have some verses from the Book of Allah likewise clarifying this affair. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned in His book, كِتَابٌ فُصِّلَتْ آيَاتُهُ قُرْآنًا عَرَبِيًّا لِقَوْمٍ يَعْلَمُونَ, that this is a book, the Qur'an is a book, the revelation and the proof and the evidence that was given to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, كِتَابٌ فُصِّلَتْ آيَاتُهُ قُرْآنًا عَرَبِيًّا لِقَوْمٍ يَعْلَمُونَ, that it was a book that was revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and its verses have been clarified in great detail. Quran and Arabian. It's an Arabic recitation. It's an Arabic recitation. لِقَوْمٍ يَعْلَمُونَ, for people who have sound knowledge. For people who have sound knowledge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, likewise He mentioned in His book, إِنَّا جَعَلْنَاهُ قُرْآنًا عَرَبِيًّا لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ, indeed we have revealed it as an Arabic recitation. We have revealed it as an Arabic recitation in order for you to comprehend and understand. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ, in order for you to comprehend and to understand. This is the wisdom from the fact that the Quran is in Arabic, and for the people to take admonition and to reflect and to ponder, because the Arabic language is so clear. Likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Quranan Arabiyan ghayra dhi 'iwajin la'allahum yattaqun, that it is an Arabic recitation. It is an Arabic Quran, and it has no crookedness in it whatsoever, in order for them to fear. So the Quran was revealed in the Arabic language, so the people, they may know the truth, and so that people, they may comprehend and reflect and understand and believe, and so that they may take admonition and fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and strive to seek His pleasure subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there are a number of verses clarifying the sefer, clarifying that the Quran was revealed in the Arabic language and that the Quran is in the Arabic tongue. And this is all evidence of the importance and lofty status and the virtue of the Arabic language over the rest of the languages. So this is sufficient for a believer to realize that it's of utmost importance to learn the Arabic language, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned in His book, وَإِنَّهُ لَتَنزِيلُ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, وَإِنَّهُ لَتَنزِيلُ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, and indeed it is the revelation of the Lord of the worlds, meaning the Quran. نَزَّلَ بِهِ الرُّوحُ الْأَمِينَ, نَزَّلَ بِهِ الرُّوحُ الْأَمِينَ, the trustworthy ruh had descended with it. عَلَى قَلْبِكَ لِتَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُنذِرِينَ, upon your heart, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that you may be from the warners, بِلِسَانٍ عَرَبِيٍّ مُبِينٍ, in the clear Arabic tongue. Allah, He says again in this verse, وَإِنَّهُ لَتَنزِيلُ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, indeed it is revelation from the Lord of the worlds, the Quran. نَزَلَ بِهِ الرُّوحُ الْأَمِينَ, the one who descended with it was the trustworthy ruh, meaning Jibreel alayhi salam. عَلَى قَلْبِكَ, upon your heart, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لِتَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُنذِرِينَ, so that you can be from those warners, and from those messengers who warn of the anger and the threat of Allah and the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the blazing fire, and likewise to give glad tidings for those who believe. Glad tidings of the paradise. Glad tidings of the paradise for those who believe and submit to Allah, and the warning, a warning from the anger and the punishment of Allah for those who disbelieve and for those who rebel and disobedience and transgression and misguidance. بِلِسَانٍ عَرَبِيٍّ مُبِينٍ, in the clear Arabic tongue. Al-Shaykh Abdurrahman ibn Nasir al-Sa'di rahimahullah ta'ala, he says in his commentary over this verse, and he read a portion of that, he says, وَتَأَمَّلْ كَيْفَ اجْتَمَعَتْ هَذِهِ الْفَضَائِلْ الْفَاخِرَةِ فِي هَذَا الْكِتَابِ الْكَرِيمِ, ponder and reflect how these lofty and high virtues, these great virtues are all gathered in this noble book. Ponder and reflect how these wonderful and great, tremendous virtues are all gathered in this noble book. فَإِنَّهُ أَفْضَلُ الْكُتُبِ, because indeed it is the most virtuous of all books. نَزَلَ بِهِ أَفْضَلُ الْمَلَائِكَ, and the best and most virtuous of all angels descended with it. عَلَى أَفْضَلِ الْخَلْقِ, descended with it upon the most virtuous of all of the creation. عَلَى أَفْضَلِ بِضْعَةٍ فِيهِ, and upon the most virtuous portion of his body. وَهُوَ قَلْبُهُ, and it is his heart. Allahu Akbar. عَلَى أَفْضَلِ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَ لِلنَّاسِ, upon the greatest ummah ever brought out for mankind. فَأَفْضَلُ الْأَلْسِنَةِ وَأَفْصَحُهَا وَأَوْسَعُهَا هِيَ أَلِسَانُ الْعَرَبِي and Mubin. So therefore, the most virtuous of all languages and the most eloquent and the most vast is the clear Arabic language. Is the clear Arabic language. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarified in these verses that and it's well known that the Quran is the best of all revelation and the best of all of the books revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the one who descended with it is the best of all angels, and he descended upon the best of all creation, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it descended on the best part of his body, which is his noble heart sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the best of all nations brought out for mankind, the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it's in this clear language, clarifying the great virtue and the precedence that the Arabic language has over the rest of the languages, over the rest of the languages. So again, to learn the Arabic language is of utmost importance, and to learn the Arabic language sincerely for the sake of Allah, with high hopes to be able to read the Book of Allah and to benefit, and to understand, and to reflect, and to ponder, and to increase in faith. To increase in faith. So we'll study and learn the Arabic language, learning alif, ba, ta, tha, jim, ha, kha, and learning the different makharij and the sifat of the huruf, and likewise from that learning the mode of recitation of the Quran and the usul of a tajweed, the fundamental principles of a tajweed, as well as learning al-nahw, wa-sarf, wa-balagha, and mufradat. Al-Mufradat and the likes like this, learning all of these affairs sincerely for the sake of Allah, hoping to be able to recite and understand the Book of Allah, and to comprehend and to reflect and to increase in faith and take admonition upon the recitation of the Noble Quran. So many great benefits for a believer by learning the Arabic language. This is the head of them. But likewise, after that, a believer will be able to ponder and reflect and to read and benefit from the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and likewise to read the narrations of the Sahaba and the Tabi'een, Atba' Tabi'een, and the scholars of Hadith and the Fuqaha and the likes like this, and read into their biographies and read into their benefits and research and the likes like this. Just learning the Arabic language, even for a layman, is so beneficial to go from being able to search. Being able to search on the phone, for example, and on the internet in the Arabic language opens up so many pathways. And the people who only search for issues in the religion in the English language, they are very limited and exposed to many dangers. And no doubt searching on the internet for information about Islam is very dangerous. But the person who has strong foundations and he knows his religion and he knows the proper sources, he can benefit greatly by searching. On the internet and the different websites that are reliable in the Arabic language. The point is to realize this great benefit. The great benefit of being able to do research, and specifically research as a student of knowledge in books and in the works of the scholars, but likewise as a layman benefiting from the internet, to be able to search in the Arabic language and knowing the proper sources to benefit from is a great opening, a great gateway to much benefit and goodness. But no doubt a believer dealing with the internet in general has to be cautious. But there's no comparison to doing research in the English language and the Arabic language. Great limitation researching in the English language. Even if you're going to research in books, you're greatly limited to that which has been translated, and limited to the poor understanding of the translator, and limited to the desires of the translators. Waliyadhu billah. So by learning the Arabic language, you become free from those limitations by the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal, and you can go directly to the statements of the people of knowledge and read them yourself and understand yourself, or even ask yourself, or text and type yourself, so on and so forth. So many great benefits for a believer to learn and learning the Arabic language. Learning the Arabic language makes the life of a Muslim more precious and more valuable. More beneficial by the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal. So the Quran is the miracle and the proof and evidence that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Rasulullah. So the testimony that we bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, the greatest proof to clarify that is in the Book of Allah. Because it is the Arabic Quran in recitation that cannot be reproduced. Allahu Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarified this in his book, and this is from the benefits of being able to understand the Arabic language. But even likewise, we benefit from the translation because many of us do not understand. But the benefit that you will receive whenever you hear these verses in Arabic, and you hear the verses before them and the verses after them in the context that they come, and whenever it's recited, many times it will go in the heart, and the heart will tremble, and the heart will fall in humbleness and in submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and taste the sweetness of faith, and taste the sweetness of faith. Allah, He says in His book, قُلْ لَنْ اجْتَمَعَتِ الْإِنسُ وَالْجِنُّ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَأْتُوا بِمِثْلِ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ لَا يَأْتُونَ بِمِثْلِهِ وَلَوْ كَانَ بَعْضُهُمْ لِبَعْضٍ ظَهِيرًا. Say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if mankind and jinn were all to get together to produce the likes of this Quran, they cannot produce the likes of it, even if they all got together to help one another. Even if they all got together to help one another. So this is from the miracles of the Quran that is in the Arabic language and it cannot be produced. And so many chapters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has began them with al-huruf al-muqatta'ah, and he with letters from the Arabic language, like alif lam mim, and like ha mim, and like taha, and like noon, and like qaf, and the likes like ta, seen, mim. These are huruf, these are letters in the Arabic language that a person who understands the Arabic language, who used them to compose words and sentences to express himself. So the Quran did not come with new letters that were unknown. Rather, it came with the same letters in the Arabic language that the Arab they all speak with fluently. And although that these letters are presented to them and available for them, they're not able to put them in a manner to replicate something like the Quran. They're not able to use these same letters to replicate something like the Quran. قُلْ لَإِنْ اجْتَمَعَتِ الْإِنْسُ وَالْجِنُّ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَأْتُوا بِمِثْلِ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ لَا يَأْتُونَ بِمِثْلِهِ وَلَوْ كَانَ بَعْضُهُمْ لِبَعْضٍ ظَهِيرًا. Say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meaning if they claim that you're a liar, and that you did not come with revelation, and that you're not the messenger of Allah, then say to them, if all mankind and the jinn were all to get together, all of them, to just produce the likes of this Quran, they will never be able to produce it. They will never be able to produce it, even if they all got together to help one another. Even if they all got together to help one another. This is a great challenge that was mentioned in the life of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the days of Mecca, all the way until the time in Al-Madinah, likewise the challenge continues time after time. At tahaddi. Allah, He challenged mankind, the Arabs specifically, those who are fluent in that language, to bring the likes of the Quran. If He is not the messenger of Allah, and this is not the speech of Allah, if it's the words of a man, then your men, here are the letters, alif, lam, mim, taha, bring something like it. Produce something like this. Replicate the likes of this if it's not the speech of Allah. But until this day, 1446 years later, no one has been able to reproduce the likes of this or to replicate it. Not even one chapter. The challenge continues. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says in His book, فَلِيَأْتُوا بِحَدِيثٍ مِثْلِهِ إِنْ كَانُوا صَادِقِينَ. Let them produce a recitation the likes of this Quran, if they are even truthful. And if you understand these words, it has great benefit. After this, Allah, He follows up the evidence and proof that He's the Creator. أَمْ خُلِقُوا مِنْ غَيْرِ شَيْءٍ أَمْ هُمُ الْخَالِقُونَ أَمْ خَلَقُوا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ بَلْ لَا يُقِنُونَ. Were they created by nothing, or were they themselves the creators? Or did they create the heavens and the earth where they have no firm belief? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala establishes His tawheed after establishing the fact that these are His word, calling you to ponder and reflect over the very creation of your own life and where you came from and how you got here in the first place. فَلْيَأْتُوا بِحَدِيثٍ مِثْلِهِ إِنْ كَانُوا صَادِقِينَ. Let them bring a narration. Shaykh Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned that this is a challenge to bring one verse. فَلْيَأْتُوا بِحَدِيثٍ مِثْلِهِ إِنْ كَانُوا صَادِقِينَ. Then let them produce the recitation of the likes of this if they're truthful. أَمْ خُلِقُوا مِنْ غَيْرِ شَيْءٍ أَمْ هُمُ الْخَالِقُونَ. Were they created from nothing, or are they themselves the creator? The answer to both of these questions is no. They were not created from nothing, or are they themselves the creators? They did not create themselves likewise. أَمْ خَلَقُوا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ. Did they create the heavens and the earth? No, بَلْ لَا يُقِنُونَ. They have no certainty. Rather, Allah, He's the creator of the heavens and the earth, the one who has revealed this recitation that no one can replicate. Allahu Akbar. He is the Lord of the worlds. He's the one who created you and provided for you your eyes and your ears that you hear and you see with. He is the one who has provided with you your heart and your soul and your life. So therefore, you should submit to Him, believe in Him, and recite His words and follow them. and follow them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He challenged again in His book a number of different challenges. أَمْ يَقُولُونَ افْتَرَاهُ. Do they claim that Muhammad fabricated the Quran? That's something he made up himself? قُلْ فَأْتُوا بِعَشْرِ سُوَرٍ مِثْلِهِ مُفْتَرَيَاتٍ وَدْعُوا مَنْ اسْتَطَعْتُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if they claim that you fabricated the Quran, if they claim that you made up the Quran, if they claim that this is not the speech of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then Allah, He says, then bring then 10 fabricated chapters, the likes of it. And call whoever you can. Call whoever you can, whoever you're able to, besides Allah, to help you if you're telling the truth. And if you're truthful in that claim, if you're truthful in that claim, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, فَإِن لَمْ يَسْتَجِيبُوا لَكُمْ فَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّمَا أُنزِلَ بِعِلْمِ اللَّهِ وَاللَّا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ فَهَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ فَهَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. And then they answer. And then they will answer, they will not be able to answer. فَإِن لَمْ يَسْتَجِيبُوا لَكُمْ, and they will not be able to answer you. If they're not able to answer you, then know that it was revealed with the knowledge of Allah. لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ. There is none worthy of worship except for Him. If they do not answer you, whenever you call them, you call them. And you tell them that if this is not the speech of Allah Azza wa Jal, if this is the speech that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fabricated himself, then bring 10 chapters. Bring 10 chapters from the likes of this. You can even pick the shortest chapters that you like. Bring 10 of them. Bring 10 of them. If they're not able to respond, meaning if they're not able to bring 10 chapters, فَعْلَمُوا أَنَّمَا أُنزِلَ بِعِلْمِ اللَّهِ, then you must know that this was revealed with the knowledge of Allah. وَأَلَّا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ, and that there's nothing worthy of worship but Him. فَهَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. So are you going to be Muslim now? So are you going to be Muslim now? Are you going to surrender to Allah Azza wa Jal? Are you going to submit to Allah with Tawheed and comply to Him in obedience? Are you going to be Muslim now? Are you going to surrender to His commandments now that you see that it's the words of Allah Azza wa Jal, that it's revelation, it's divine, and no man can replicate it nor reproduce it? And if they were able to, then why didn't they do it so far? How come 1,446 years have gone by and no one has brought even 10 verses? And no one has brought even 10 verses? Whether the challenge even continues after that to bringing the likes of one verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, وَمَا كَانَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنُ أَنْ يُفْتَرَى مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ وَلَكِنْ تَصْدِيقَ الَّذِي بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ وَتَفْصِيلَ الْكِتَابِ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ مِنْ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. And this Quran is not such that could ever be reproduced. It's not such that it could ever be produced by other than Allah. This Quran is something that could never be produced. It can never be brought. It can never be revealed by other than Allah. But it is a confirmation of the revelation that was before, and a full explanation of the book and its laws and decrees for mankind, wherein there is no doubt from the Lord of the worlds, from the Lord of the worlds. And then Allah, He says, أَمْ يَكُولُونَ افْتَرَى. Are they claiming that he fabricated? Did they say that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had forged it and fabricated it and made it up himself? قُلْ فَأْتُوا بِسُورَةٍ مِثْلِهِ وَدُعُوا مَنِ اسْتَطَعْتُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Then let them bring one chapter, the likes of it. Then bring one chapter. Before, the challenge was for bringing the likes of the Quran. And then there was a challenge to bring 10 chapters from the likes of the chapters of the Quran. Now there's a challenge to bring one chapter. Bring one chapter. Bring one chapter. Bring one chapter. And call whoever you're able to. Call the nations and call the people and call the geniuses and call the scholars and call whoever you're able to besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if you are truthful. And they have not been able until to this day to reproduce the likes of this, because it's not possible. It's not possible. It's not possible to replicate the words of the Creator, because He's the Creator and there's nothing like Him. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's high and lofty above His creation, and His speech is the best of all speech, and it cannot be replicated by the creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned in His book, again, another challenge. إِن كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ مِمَّا نَزَّلْنَا عَلَىٰ عَبْدِنَا فَأْتُوا بِسُورَةٍ مِنْ مِثْلِهِ وَدُعُوا شُهَدَاءَكُمْ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. And if you, referring to the Arab pagans and the Jews and the Christians, and those disbelievers, if they are in doubt concerning that which we have sent down from this Quran to our slave, meaning to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then produce one chapter the likes thereof, and call all of your supporters and helpers besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a great challenge, clarifying the miracle of the Quran, the majesty and the greatness of the Quran, that it cannot be replicated. And if you have any doubts about that, then replicate it. Then replicate it, and call whoever you can along with you, from the most knowledgeable that you know, and from the geniuses and the mathematicians, and whoever else you know in technology and in computers, any of them, engineers, whatever you can get. Call them all together and produce the likes of the Quran. They will not be able to do it. Allah, He clarified this. فَإِلَّمْ تَفْعَلُوا, and if you do not do it, وَلَنْ تَفْعَلُوا, and you'll never be able to do it. فَاتَّقُوا النَّارِ, فَاتَّقُوا النَّارِ, then fear the fire. And if you do not do that, and you cannot reproduce the likes of this Quran, not even one chapter, and you will never be able to do that, then the admonishment and the advice from the Creator, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَاتَّقُوا النَّارِ, then fear the fire. Then fear the fire, التي وقودها الناس والحجارة, which is fuel is men and stones, عِدَّةَ الْكَافِرِينَ, who has been prepared, and has been prepared for those who disbelieve, for those who disbelieve. So from the great importance of learning the Arabic language and being fluent in the Arabic language is to be able to read the Book of Allah and to be able to ponder and reflect and benefit from the recitation. And so much great benefit comes from reading and studying and having a strong connection with the Book of Allah and striving and hoping to understand the words of Allah and to benefit from them and to increase in faith upon the recitation of the noble Quran. And many of these verses here that we have mentioned, they come in the context of challenging mankind to bring the likes of the Quran. And this challenge stands until today, and no one has taken on that challenge or fulfilled even a portion of that, and it's not possible for them. But if you read the verses before these verses and the verses after these verses, they're amazing affairs. They're amazing affairs. For example, the verse that we just read in the beginning of Surah, in the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah, وَإِنْ كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ مِمَّا نَزَّلْنَا عَلَىٰ أَبْدِنَا فَأْتُوا بِسُورَةٍ مِّنْ مِثْلِهِ. And if you have any doubts about that which we have revealed to our slave, our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then bring one chapter from the likes thereof, and call your helpers to support you and to aid you in that. And if you're not able to, and you'll never be able to, then fear the fire. This is in the establishment of the truthfulness of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is verifying that Prophet Muhammad is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this is the clear proof establishing the fact that Muhammadur Rasulullah. That Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. This verse is here, they establish that because the Quran cannot be replicated. It cannot be replicated. So this is the clear proof, the clear evidence that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if you do not believe he's the messenger of Allah, then all you have to do is produce one chapter, the likes of what he had come with. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Produce one chapter. But the verses before this verse, this verse here is in the establishment of the prophethood of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the second aspect of the shahada. And the verses before this is in the establishment of the tawheed of Allah azza wa jal, which is the reality of the first part of the shahada. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He calls mankind. And we ponder and reflect over these words. And those who are able to ponder in the Arabic language, alhamdulillah. And those who are able to listen to the translation, we ask for Allah to benefit all of us. Ya ayyuhan nas. Allah, He calls mankind, O mankind, اُعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمْ, worship your Lord, الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ, the one who created you, وَالَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, O mankind, worship your Lord, the one who created you and created those before you, in order for you to fear Allah, to become righteous and pious, in order for you to fear Allah and to become righteous and pious. So the Creator, He is the one who's worthy of worship. And this is from the methodology of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His book to clarify His right to be worshipped alone. As evidence and proof for that, He uses the rububiyyah. He uses subhanahu wa ta'ala, the rububiyyah, the lordship, the fact that He's the Creator and the Provider and the Sustainer, and the fact that He has brought everything into existence and given everything His shape and His form. This is the evidence and proof, barahin al-tawheed. Barahin tawheed al-uluhiyyah. Barahin tawheed al-ibadah al-ubudiyyah. These are the evidences and the proofs, and la ilaha illallah, that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. Worship your Lord, the one who created you. So the one who created us, He is the Lord, and He is the one who's worthy of worship. And then in the verse after this, Allah, He further clarifies, الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ الْأَرْضَ فِرَاشًا وَالسَّمَاءَ بِنَاءً وَأَنزَلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً فَأَخْرَجَ بِهِ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ رِزْقًا لَكُمْ. فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ It is Allah, He has made the earth a resting place for you. Your Lord, worship your Lord, O mankind, worship your Lord, the one who created you and created those before you so that you may fear Him, so that you may be upright and pious and righteous and be good people, who has made the earth a resting place for you. الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ الْأَرْضَ فِرَاشًا فِرَاشًا يَعْنِي مَفْرُوشًا Meaning that it's widespread. This is also from the benefit of the Arabic language. فِرَاش عَلَى وَزْنِ فِعَال بِمَنَى مَفْعُول But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has made the earth spread out and it's all furnished and everything is already here. Whenever you came here, you didn't have to bring anything with you. The chicken and the fish and the cows and the vegetables and the water and the fruits, all of it's already here for you. Everything is furnished. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He made the earth vast and spread out and furnished full of great benefit for you. For you. For you. الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ الْأَرْضَ فِرَاشًا وَالسَّمَاءَ بِنَاءً He also has made the heaven as a canopy over your head. And it's a means of protection. And on top of that, وَأَنْزَلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً And He's the one who sends water from the sky. The water that is so sweet and a means for our life and benefit. There's so many benefits that come from the water and the great need the human being has for water and the animals and likewise the plants and the water that we drink and that we enjoy. It comes from the sky above our heads. It comes from the sky above our heads. Allahu Akbar. It is Allah. He sends the water from the sky. فَأَخْرَجَ بِهِ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ رِزْقًا لَكُمْ And He brings out by way of that water, fruits, and vegetable, and great benefit as a provision for you. So therefore, do not set up rivals, partners with Allah in worship while you know that Allah, He is your creator, while you know that Allah, He is your provider, while you know that Allah, He is your sustainer, while you know that Allah, He is the one who is granting you all of the good and blessings that you have and that nothing can happen to you except with His command and permission. Do not set up partners with Him in worship. And then after establishing the Tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal, that He is the creator, that He is the provider, that He is the sustainer, that He is the one who has, that He is the one who sends the rain from the sky, and He has done that out of kindness and mercy for you, and has warned you from setting up partners in worship with Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, then He emphasizes the prophethood of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَإِن كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ مِمَّا نَزَّلْنَا عَلَىٰ أَبْرِنَا فَأْتُوا بِسُورَةٍ مِنْ مِثْلِهِ وَادْعُوا شُهَدَاءَكُمْ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ And if you have any doubts about concerning that which we have sent down to our slave, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then bring one chapter the likes thereof. And call your supporters and helpers, call your witnesses to help you and support you besides Allah if you are truthful. فَإِلَمْ تَفْعَلُوا وَلَنْ تَفْعَلُوا And if you are do not do that, if you're not able to do that, and you will never be able to do that, فَاتَّقُوا النَّارِ الَّتِي وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْكَافِرِينَ Then you must fear the fire whose fuel is men and stones prepared for those who disbelieve. For those who disbelieve in the Quran. For those who disbelieve in the Arabic recitation. And disbelieve in the Arabic prophet. And disbelieve in the religion of Allah Azza wa Jal. So to understand the Arabic language is of utmost importance. Of utmost importance to be able to benefit. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has sent the Quran in the Arabic language as a proof and evidence for the prophethood of the final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his guidance is the true guidance, and his way is that way that leads to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we hope to understand the Quran and the Sunnah of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam properly and in detail and benefit in the manner required, we must learn the Arabic language. We must learn the Arabic language. So Ibn Kathir rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned in his commentary in his verse in Surah Baqarah, and the portion whenever Allah, He says, and if you're not able to, and you'll never be able to, then Ibn Kathir, he says, رحمه ta'ala, وَهَذِهِ أَيْضًا مُعْجِزَةٌ أُقْرَىٰ وَهُوَ أَنُّهُ أَخْبَرَ خَبْرًا جَازِمًا قَافِئًا مُقْدِيمًا غَيْرَ خَائِفٍ وَلَا مُشْفِقٍ أَنَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ لَا يُعَرَضُ بِمِثْلِهِ أَبَدًا And this is another miracle in itself, and that is that Allah has mentioned and clarified in His book, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He's the one who is conveying this, that he has informed with certainty, with no fear, no not scared, with bravery, advancing directly, saying directly without any fear, without any cowardice whatsoever, rather with all bravery and standing firm, that this Quran can never be replicated. that no one can ever bring anything like it. This in itself is a miracle to clarify. He says, وَكَذَلِكَ وَقَعَ الْأَمْرُ. And in this manner it had occurred. Just as Allah, He mentioned in His book, just as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam conveyed, and if you're not able to, and you'll never be able to, the fear of the fire, you're not able to replicate it, and you will never be able to replicate it. Ibn Kathir, he says, وَهَكَذَا وَقَعَ وَكَذَلِكَ وَقَعَ الْأَمْرُ. And just like that, that's what happened. لَمْ يُعَارَضْ مِنْ لَدُنْهُ إِلَىٰ زَمَانِنَا هَذَا. That no one from the time of the revelation of the Quran until our day now, Ibn Kathir, he died in the year 774. No one has been able to bring the likes thereof. From the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam all the way until the time of Ibn Kathir, he died in the year 774. He said, and like that, just like that, it occurred. No one has ever been able to reproduce. And we say about that, after the time of Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, who died in 774, almost 700 more years later, in the year 1446, no one has brought the likes of it. All of this is a testimony to the authenticity of the messengership of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, وَلَا يُمْكِنْ, and it's not possible. وَأَنَّ يَتَأَتَّى ذَلِكَ لِأَحَدٍ, and how could anyone ever do that? وَالْقُرْآنُ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ خَالِقِ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ, and the Quran is the speech of Allah, the creator of all things. وَكَيْفَ يُشْبِهُ كَلَامُ الْخَالِقِ كَلَامَ الْمَخْلُوقِينَ, and how could the speech of the creator ever resemble the speech of the creation? This is the end of the statement of Ibn Kathir, rahimahullahu ta'ala. So the Salaf, they had great concern and great care with the Quran and the language of the Quran, with the Sunnah and the language of the Sunnah. And there are a number of examples with regards to that. And we have in the work of Al-Khatib al-Baghdadi, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he has a work called Al-Jami' li Akhlaq al-Rawi wa Adab al-Sami', which is a book about the manners and etiquettes of the scholars of hadith and their students. And their students. And in this particular work, he has chapters about the etiquettes and manners of the scholars and the teachers, and the manners and etiquettes of the students. Etiquettes related to the heart, from sincerity and ikhlas and being truthful and being humble. Manners and etiquettes with regards to the clothing and the garments, and with regards to the gatherings and coming and going, and with regards to reviewing knowledge and going over knowledge, with regards to teaching knowledge, with regards to learning knowledge. So many different chapters with regards to the issue of knowledge, seeking knowledge and teaching. And teaching knowledge. And in this work, from the chapters that he discusses, is the chapter he says, التَرْغِيبُ فِي تَعَلُّمِ النَّحْوِ وَالْعَرَبِيَّةِ لِأَدَاءِ الْحَدِيثِ بِالْعِبَارَةِ السَّوِيَّةِ. The encouragement to learn النَّحْو. This is from the etiquettes of the students of knowledge, from the teachers of knowledge, that it's encouraged for them to learn النَّحْو. And Khatib al-Baghdadi, rahimahullah, he died in the year 463. So there's a chapter entitled التَرْغِيبُ فِي تَعَلُّمِ النَّحْو وَالْعَرَبِيَّةِ لِأَدَاءِ الْحَدِيثِ بِالْعِبَارَةِ السَّوِيَّةِ. The encouragement to learn Arabic grammar, the Arabic language, in order to read the hadith in the correct and proper expression. I need to read it properly, in the manner that is correct. And another chapter, likewise, he mentioned مَنْ عَابَ اللَّحْن وَشَدَّدَ فِيهِ, the one who found fault with the lahan and was stern and harsh with regards to that. And another chapter with regards to those who made mistakes in the Arabic language. Pronouncing the word wrong, with the wrong letter on the end, or with the wrong sarf, or with the wrong i'rab, and the likes like this. And he making mistakes in the Arabic language. So these are affairs that the people of knowledge, they had great concern with from an early day, rather they wrote their books about the manners and etiquettes of seeking knowledge, and from that is that a student, he will learn the Arabic language. From that, the student, he will learn the Arabic language, and he will learn it properly, and he will be fluent in this affair. And it has been narrated by Waqi'. And all of this is from the same work, and with the chain of Al-Khatib al-Baghdadi to these individuals from the Salaf. And he mentions with his chain to Waqi' ibn al-Jarrah, rahimahullah, he died in the year 197, from the greatest scholars of hadith. He says, أَتَيْتُ الْعَامَشِ أَسْمَعُ مِنْهُ الْحَدِيثِ, I came to al-A'mash in order to listen to him and learn narrations. Al-A'mash, his name is Sulaiman ibn Mihran. He died in the year 148, from the great scholars of hadith. He says, وَكُنْتُ رُبَّمَا لَحَنْتُ, and when I came to him, I made some grammatical mistakes in the words. I'm talking to him, making grammatical mistakes. فَقَالَ لِي يَا أَبَا سُفْيَانِ, so he said to me, O Abu Sufyan, تَرَكْتَ مَا هُوَ أَوْلَى بِكَ مِنَ الْحَدِيثِ He said, you left off that which is more rightful for you to learn than hadith. And you left off something more rightful to learn than hadith. He came to learn hadith, but he's making mistakes, grammatical errors in the Arabic language. And so Amas, he's correcting him, saying, you want to learn hadith, but you left off that which is more important than that. And he first, that which takes precedence before that. And he says, فَقُلْتُ يَا أَبَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَأَيُّ شَيْءٍ أَوْلَى مِنَ الْحَدِيثِ And he said, oh, Abu Muhammad, what is more rightful to learn than hadith? He says, فَقَالَ النَّحْوُ He said, learning the Arabic grammar. Learning the Arabic grammar, فَأَمْلَ عَلَيَّ الْعَمَشِ النَّحْوُ ثُمَّ أَمْلَ عَلَيَّ الْحَدِيثِ He said, so Amash, he taught me Arabic grammar, and then after that, he taught me the hadith. And this is because, as has preceded, the narrations are in the Arabic language. So a person, he has to become fluent, and he has to become strong and firmly grounded in the Arabic language so he doesn't make mistakes. So he doesn't make mistakes in the pronunciation of the letters. And sometimes these mistakes, they lead to having bad meanings or meanings that are contrary to what one even intended. And there are mistakes that, at very minimum, they are problems and they sound bad. And it makes the conversation or listening to the speech hard and difficult for those who understand the Arabic language because of the mistakes and because of the errors, even if it didn't necessarily change the meaning. But the point is, sometimes it would even change the meaning from a good meaning or a proper meaning to a bad meaning. There are some examples of this coming that Al-Khatib, he mentioned, rahimahullahu ta'ala. It has been narrated from Shu'bah. Shu'bah ibn Hijjaj, rahimahullah, also from the great scholars of hadith. He died in the year 160. He says, مَنْ طَلَبَ الْحَدِيثِ فَلَمْ يُبْصِرُ الْعَرَبِيَّةِ فَمَثَلُهُ مَثَلُ رَجُلٍ عَلَيْهِ بُرْنُسُ وَلَيْسَ لَهُ رَأْسِ He said, the example of the one who seeks knowledge of the hadith and he does not have insight of the Arabic language is like the one who's wearing a burnus and doesn't have a head. A burnus is the type of thobe that has a hood on it. A thobe that has a hood on it. Yani this is a specific type of thobe that is made with a hood on it. And the purpose from it is to have the hood. So the example of a person seeking knowledge of hadith, but he does not have insight with the Arabic language, is like this individual here. It's like this individual here. He has a burnus and the hood is cut off. And the whole purpose for having the burnus in the first place is to have a hood to cover the head. And meaning he's very deficient, missing the whole fundamental. Missing the whole fundamental. Likewise, he mentioned another narration from Hamad ibn Salama. Hamad ibn Salama, also from the great scholars of hadith. These are individuals that the chains revolve around. These are individuals that the chains of narration revolve around. He died in the year 167. He said, مَثَلُ الَّذِي يَطْرُبُ الْحَدِيثَ مَثَلُ الَّذِي يَطْرُبُ الْحَدِيثَ وَلَا يَعْرِفُ النَّحْوَ مَثَلُ الْحِمَارِ عَلَيْهِ مِخْلَاتٌ لَا شَعِيرَ فِيهَا He said, the example or the parable of the one who seeks the knowledge of hadith and he does not know Arabic grammar is that of a donkey. Is that of a donkey and he has the feeding bridle on and it has no grain inside of it. And the donkey, he'll have the bridle that they put on his mouth for him to eat from and it has no grain in it. It has no wheat in it. Any meaning that this person, he's like a donkey with no benefit whatsoever. He's a donkey in the first place. And then on top of that, he does not even have anything with him to benefit from. Anything to benefit from. So this is all a clarification of how the Salaf, they would blame. They will blame and find fault with individuals who do not have care and concern with the Arabic language and they go advancing. They go advancing on the Islamic sciences. Advancing upon the Islamic sciences, hoping to benefit from the narrations of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and become from the people of Hadith. Yet he did not have concern learning the very fundamentals of the Arabic language, which is the foundation for understanding the book and the Sunnah. The book and the Sunnah. Likewise, in the same work, it's been mentioned that جَاءَ سِيبُوَي إِلَى الْخَلِيلِ إِبْنِ أَحْمَدِ سِيبُوَي and خَلِيلِ إِبْنِ أَحْمَدِ they're from the greatest scholars of the Arabic language. But likewise, they were scholars of hadith. But likewise, they're scholars of hadith. سِيبُوَي, he died in the year 180. And his great teacher, الْخَلِيلِ إِبْنِ أَحْمَدِ الْفَرَاهِيدِ رَحِيمُهُمْ اللَّهِ he died in the year 173. So Sibuway, he came to Khalil ibn Ahmad, فَشَكَ إِلَيْهِ حَمَادِ ibn Salama. And he's complaining to him about Hamad ibn Salama, you know, the one that we were discussing in the previous narration. قَالَ سَأَوْتُهُ عَنْ حَدِيثِ هِشَامِ ibn Urwa عَنْ أَبِيهِ فِي رَجُلٍ رَعُوفَ فَانْتَهَرَنِي وَقَالَ لِي أَخْطَعْتَ إِنَّمَا هُوَ رَعَافَ فَقَالَ لَهُ الْخَلِيلُ صَدَقَ أَتَلْقَى بِهَذَا الْكَلَامِ أَبَا سَلَمَة So Sibuway, he came to his teacher Khalil ibn Ahmad, and he's complaining about Hamad ibn Salama. Hamad ibn Salama, the great scholar of hadith, who died in the year 100 and, and 67, rahimahullah ta'ala, Hamad ibn Salama, he's from those that the narrations they revolve around. So he says that I came Sibuway. Sibuway, we know that Sibuway, he became from the greatest scholars of the Arabic language and from his greatest teacher, and that was Khalil al-Khalil ibn Ahmed. He says, I came from Hamad ibn Salama and I asked him about the narration of Hisham ibn Urwa and Abihi, yani Urwa ibn Zubayr. And Hisham ibn Urwa and Abihi, yani Urwa ibn Zubayr. And he says about the man Ra'ufa. He says Ra'ufa. I asked him about the individual Ra'ufa. Ra'ufa means to have a nosebleed, but he pronounced it wrong. It's not Ra'ufa, it's Ra'afa. But in reality, the language has come with two different pronunciations. But Ra'ufa is a weak manner of saying this verb. And the strong and the preferred way to say it is Ra'afa. So Hamad ibn Salama, he checked him on this from saying Ra'ufa to Ra'afa. He said, I asked him about Rajulun Ra'ufa. Fantaharani, and he scolded me. He didn't say he prohibited, he said fantaharani. He scolded me. وَقَالَ لِي أَخْطَأْتِ, he said, you made a mistake. And you made a mistake in narrating the narration. You're wrong. You're wrong. Pay attention to that. He says, هُوَ رَعَفَ. You say رَعَفَ. You don't say رَعُوفَ. You don't say رَعُوفَ. You say رَعَفَ. رَعَفَ. So he became angry. Hamad ibn Salama, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he became angry with this affair and checked him on this one pronunciation, a mistake in the sarf. He made a mistake in the sarf. Sibuway. Sibuway, the great scholar of the Arabic language, he made a mistake in the sarf. And Hamad ibn Salama, the great scholar of hadith, checked him on that and said, you don't say ra'ufa, you say ra'afa. You don't say ra'ufa, you say ra'afa. Ra'ufa, la. You say ra'afa. He checked him on that in the narration of this narration. And whenever he came back to ask his teacher, he said, man, this man, he was harsh with me. And he reprimanded me. And Khalil, he said to him, Sadaqa, he said the truth. He said, At-talqa bihadha al-kalam Abu Salama. You're going to go to Abu Salama? You're going to go to Abu Salama with the likes of this speech? And meaning it's known that Hamad ibn Salama, Abu Salama, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he was diligent in this affair. And he did not take the issue of making mistakes in the Arabic language lightly. He did not take the issue of making mistakes in the Arabic language lightly. Likewise, it's been narrated in the same work from a narration from Hamad ibn Salama that he said to a person, إِن لَحَنْتَ فِي حَدِيثِ إِن لَحَنْتَ فِي حَدِيثِ فَقَدْ كَذَبْتَ عَلَيَّ فَإِنِّي لَا أَلْحَنْ. Subhanallah. Hamad ibn Salam, he told a man, and one of his students, he said, if you make a mistake in the Arabic grammar and the narrations you narrate on me, then you're lying on me. If you make a mistake in the narrations that you narrate on me, then you're lying on me because I don't make mistakes in the narrations. And I don't make the lahan. If you make the lahan when you narrate the narrations that you learn from me, then you're lying on me because I do not make the lahan when I narrate. Because I did not make the lahan when I narrate. And he was very diligent to narrate the narrations precisely as he heard them and learned them from his teachers and precisely according to the principles that are well known in the Arabic language. And he was diligent in this affair. And he considered people who narrated on him, claiming that they learned these narrations from him, yet they narrate narrations with mistakes in the Arabic grammar as if they're lying on him because he didn't narrate it like that. Because he didn't narrate it like that. Al-Khatib, he mentioned, rahimahullah, commenting on this, he says, وَلَحْنُ فِي الْقُرْآنِ أَيْضًا غَيْرُ مَأْمُونَ عَلَى مَنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ حَافِظًا لَهُ وَلَا عَلِمًا بِالْعَرَبِيَّةِ وَقَدْ حُفِظَ ذَلِكَ عَنْ غَيْرِ وَحَدٍ مِنْ الرُّوَاتِ. And likewise, making mistakes, making the lahan, the mistake in the Arabic grammar or in the Arabic language, and the sarf and the likes like this also can occur with the Quran. And a person, he's not safe from that if he's not someone who memorized the Quran precisely, or someone who has knowledge of the Arabic language. And this has been reported from a number of the narrators of hadith. Any examples whenever they had fallen into error in the recitation of the Quran or reading the book of Allah Azza wa Jal because of a weakness in the Arabic language. Because of a weakness in the Arabic language. It's been mentioned by this narration here that this was the reason that carried Sibuway rahimahullahu ta'ala to learn the Arabic language. Yani that he was reprimanded in this manner. And he was taken to account like this, and then he realized that it was his mistake. So after that, he strove very hard and diligently to learn the Arabic language, and he became from the great imams of Ahl Sunnah in the Arabic language. We have another example with the chain of Khatib to Abu Zayd al-Nahwi. Rahimahullah, he died in the year 215. He says, كَانَ الَّذِي حَدَانِي عَلَى طَالِبِ الْأَدَبِ وَالنَّحْوِ أَنِّي دَخَلْتُ عَلَى جَعْفَرِ بْنِ سُلَيْمَانَ فَقَالُوا ادْنُ فَقَالَ ادنو فقلت انا دني فقال لا تقول يا بني انا دني ولكن قول أنا دانٍ أنا دانٍ. So Abu Zayd al-Nahwi, he says, that which carried me to seek knowledge of the Arabic language and grammar is that I came to Ja'far ibn Sulayman one time and he said to me, Udnu, 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 it means come close, come in. I mean, Udnu is the command from Dana Yadnu, Udnu Dunuwan. Ad-Dunu is to come close, and Qurb. And meaning he's giving him permission to come to enter and to come close. So how did he respond? He said, Anadani, Anadani. Dani is from a Dana'a. And the words, they sound the same, but they're different. And even they have different roots. So he says, Anadani. But Dani means I'm lowly. I'm despicable. He wants to say, I'm coming close. But he used the wrong word. And he misunderstood the sarf and the fundamentals of this affair. And he is saying about himself that he's lowly. That he's calling himself Anadani. And he meant dana'a. What dana'a is like, being lowly and being despicable and having base desires and the likes like this. This is what he said about himself, but that's not what he wants to say. He says, Ya bunayya, O my beloved son, let the call anadani. Don't say I'm dani. Don't say I'm lowly. Say anadanin. And he used the ism fa'al min dunu. Say anadanin. And I'm entering, I'm coming close. And he made a mistake in the Arabic language and wound up saying something bad about his own self. About his own self, not realizing that this is a mistake in the Arabic language. Not realizing that this is a mistake in the Arabic language. So likewise, there are other narrations as well, narrated by Abdul Malik ibn Mirwan, and that he said, "Al-lahnu fi rajul as-sari kal-judari fil wajh." That the mistake in the Arabic grammar from a noble man is like a mole or a defect on the face of a person. On the face of a person, any meaning that is considered a fault and a problem, that a person, he will make mistakes in the Arabic grammar. He will speak or read and recite the Arabic language and it will be full of mistakes. And he will put the harakah in the wrong place and he'll pronounce the words in the wrong manner. And until it becomes known about him. And many times they learn the Arabic language and they're fluent, and then the lahan will be few or rare. But some people that don't learn, they make it often and becomes a very big problem until it's considered very blameworthy. And if we read in the biographies of some of the Salaf and some of the scholars of Hadith, they'll mention traits about them, some of them good and some of them bad. From that, Ibn Shaheen. Ibn Shaheen is from the great scholars of Hadith. He has books about Mustalah Hadith, books about Jarh wa Ta'dil. And he died in the year 385. And you mention, if you read in his biography, you'll mention some good traits about him, and then they'll say, وَكَانَ لَحَانًا وَكَانَ لَحَانًا. And he was somebody who made mistakes often in the Arabic language. He's from those people who had this foul and bad trait. So they will mention that in his biography to warn from falling into mistakes like him. So he's saying here, Abdul Malik ibn Mirwan, that this lahan in the Arabic language for a noble person is like a disfigurement in the face of an individual. He says, وَقَالَ الشَّعْبِ. And the Shabi, he mentioned, رحمه ta'ala, and Shabi from the great scholars of Hadith, Amr ibn Sharahir, he died in the 104. He says, النَّحْوُ فِي الْعِلْمِ كَالْمِلْحِ فِي الطَّعَامِ. That using the Arabic grammar with knowledge is like putting salt in the food. Using the Arabic grammar properly with knowledge, anyone studying and reviewing and teaching knowledge, is like putting salt in the food. It's like putting salt in the food. لا يستغنى شيء عنه. You're never not in need of it. And this is a great benefit likewise. And this is the example of the Arabic language and the grammar specifically. That it's like putting salt in the food. It's like putting salt in the food. So if the food does not have any salt in it, then the food is bland and it's not tasty. And a person, he will not eat it. But if it has too much salt in it, likewise it becomes salty and it is ruined and no one will eat it. So it has to have just enough, not too little and not too much. And likewise the Arabic language. So you don't want to be negligent and not learn the Arabic language properly. But also a person, he will not want to spend his whole life learning the Arabic language, going into great details that are not necessary and leaving off the obligation of learning the proper creed or learning about the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or learning about the principles of fiqh and the jurisprudence and learning about the principles of tafsir and learning the tafsir of the Quran and the other affairs that take precedence in learning the legislation properly. No, a person, he will learn the Arabic language, he will learn Nahu, he will learn Sarf, he will learn Mufradat, he will learn the Balagha, yani, but he will not go into great intricate detail in these affairs, wasting a lot of time. Rather, he will take what he needs in order to now really seek knowledge properly and to study the obligations of the religion and to traverse upon the path of knowledge. So, Nahu fil ilmi. So the learning the Arabic grammar and using the Arabic grammar with regards to knowledge is like the salt in the food, meaning it makes it proper and beneficial, makes it good, and makes it nice. Also, it's been narrated that Ali ibn Abi Talib, as well as Ibn Abbas and Ibn Umar radiallahu anhum, all of them, كانوا يضربون أولادهم على اللحن, that they used to discipline their children if they made a mistake in the Arabic grammar. All of this is the clarification of the great effort and the great care and concern that the Salaf they used to have with regards to the Arabic language. So this is something that we must show concern for, that we must be diligent with regards to and follow the way of the Salaf al-Salih with regards to this, with regards to the Arabic language, striving to be diligent, to learn the pure Arabic language, to learn Al-Arabiya Al-Fusha, the language of the Qur'an, the language of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the language of the noble companions, and the language that is used when studying and seeking knowledge by the people of knowledge. This is the language that is beneficial. So my advice with regards to this is to be diligent to learn this language and to be cautious from learning the dialects and the slang languages. And they call it the Ammiya. To avoid using that and learning that whatsoever. And those who are Arab and they speak the Arabic language and fluently, but they only know the Amiya, they will not truly benefit. And many times if you speak to them in the clear Fusha, they do not understand you. Or if they speak to you in their language and their dialect and their Amiya, you definitely do not understand them. But we have to remember that this language is from the deen, and we're learning the language to understand the Quran and to benefit in our religion and for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and to understand the Sunnah of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we don't care about the Amiya, the different dialects and this one and that one. This one is only going to divert us from our goal and our aim and understanding the religion properly. So we would avoid that. Avoid letting your tongue become mixed up with these different dialects and the different the slang languages and likes like this. That preserve your tongue from that and strive to learn the Fusha clearly and become fluent and strong in that and become firm and having a command over your tongue in reading and in speaking and expressing yourself in the Arabic language, the classical Fusha Arabic language, and do not let your tongue become polluted with the slang languages. Don't let your tongue become polluted with the slang languages. Many times if a person gets his tongue accustomed to saying certain words, he will not be able to stop or to free his tongue from that. So you choose the words that the people of knowledge they use. You don't use the words that the people in the street they use, the people of ignorance or the people of the dunya. Rather, we must strive to learn fluently the Arabic language. And the Amiya, these dialects from those who had great effort in spreading these dialects and encouraging these dialects are the enemies of Al-Islam. And it was a means to detour the Muslims and take them away from their religion and to distance them from the Quran. Because by corrupting the tongue and polluting the tongue with this different dialects, this takes a person away from understanding the Quran. Many of those who are Arab, they were born Arab and they speak the Arabic language, but they only know the dialects of their land or their area. Many times this dialect does not help them understand the Quran. Many times this dialect does not help them understand the Quran, nor does it help them understand the Hadith. So in reality, they're just like the Ajami. They're basically almost no different. They have an advantage, no doubt about that, but their language, their so-called Arabic language, is not helping them understand their religion. And this was from the plots and the plans of the enemies of Al-Islam, and likewise to divide the Muslims. This one has this lahja and this one has that lahja, and this one his amiya is like this and this one his amiya is like this. This is all from the plots of the enemies of Al-Islam. So to counter that plot, we must strive to learn the Arabic language clearly, the Fusha, the classical Arabic, the Arabic of the Quran, the Arabic of the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the Arabic that is used with knowledge, the language of knowledge, lughatul ilm, lughatul ulama, This is the proper, the classical, the good Arabic. The good Arabic. So we have to make effort and strive to learn this language. And we have to make a difference. Barakallah fikum. And this is some problems that I find many of our brothers and sisters facing today. To make a difference between learning about the Arabic language and learning the Arabic language. Are you learning about the Arabic language or are you learning the Arabic language? Because if you learn about the Arabic language, you will learn a lot, but you will never learn the Arabic language. So to learn about the Arabic language, meaning that somebody will teach you the Arabic language in English. And he will tell you all about the Arabic language in English. And whenever you're done, you'll finish this book and that book and that book and this book. And you will still not know the Arabic language, but you know a whole lot about it. But you know a whole lot about it. You know about fa'il and maf'ul, mashallah. Even maybe you know about some scales and you know a lot of vocabulary. But in the end, you don't know Arabic. And you can't speak to anybody in Arabic. And you can't read a book in Arabic. And you can't listen to the Imam at Fajr time and understand 100% fluently because you're not fluent in Arabic. You just studied about Arabic and you didn't learn Arabic. So you want to focus now and see this problem and stop learning about Arabic and buckle down and strive to learn Arabic. And to become fluent in the Arabic language requires for you to learn someone who is teaching you in the Arabic language. You will never learn the Arabic language in English. And those who learn the Arabic language, they did not learn it in English. Those who become fluent in the Arabic language, those who went overseas, for example, they become fluent in the Arabic language, they did not do that by their teacher translating everything for them. Rather, they had a teacher who did not understand their language and taught them the Arabic language until they understood. This is the proper way. So this is very important. If you truly want to benefit in your religion, you need to learn the Arabic language. You need to learn the Arabic language. You need to become fluent in the Arabic language. You need to find someone who would teach you the Arabic language the proper manner and cultivate you little by little by little by little until you understand what he's saying to you in the Arabic language. And then you learn the Arabic language in the Arabic language. And then you proceed learning the Arabic language in the Arabic language without translation. And then from there, you move on to the other sciences of the religion, benefiting. And then, inshallah, you'll be able to read the book of Allah Azza wa Jalla and understand yourself and benefit in a great manner. And read the hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, understand and benefit in a great manner. And benefit from the lectures and the lessons that are live or broadcast, or even go overseas yourself and sit at the feet of the scholars and benefit directly. Alhamdulillah. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to aid us upon the path of seeking knowledge and to make it easy for us to learn the language of the Quran and to grant us sincerity in that and to grant us a good understanding of the book and the sunnah and the methodology of the Salaf. And I thank the administration at Noor al-Arabiya for this opportunity to cooperate together and to study our religion. And this is a great topic. And we hope that it was beneficial. And with that, Allah, He would accept it from all of us. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.